He's amused Cam Newton.
Just ask that question one more time.
He's been insulted by Charles Barkley.
When some idiot in the press asked him, if you know what you know now, would you have scheduled this game?
He's interviewed Matthew McConaughey.
I do say go Tar Heels.
And he's taken on Big Blue Nation.
He's just completely taken the wind out of my sails.
It's time for The Drive with Josh Graham.
You are on a Thursday Drive, WSJS, News Talk Sports for the Triad. We're in about the most painful way possible. The Carolina Hurricane season ended last night in a sweep by the Florida Panthers. And amid the wallowing and self-pity that's out there, and you're seeing plenty of that today, there are some suggestions, and it might be by the minority of hockey people out there, but enough to acknowledge it at least. There are suggestions that the Canes need to either blow up their core, they need to heat up the coaching seat for Rod Brind'Amour, or even go big game hunting in free agency at some point this summer. For the Canes, the solution is none of those three things. The real solution for them is already in that room. It's on this roster. And for the Canes to make the next step to the Stanley Cup a year from now, they need more from their stars. Not to make big swings in free agency. The mystery box doesn't always contain the best answer. Sometimes what is right in front of you, what you already have, is good enough. You just need to continue to invest in it. Let's start with Sebastian Aho. Is he a star or isn't he? It's a simple question. Is Sebastian Aho one of the best players in the National Hockey League or isn't he? The Canes, they're one of the best teams in the National Hockey League. They had the second best record in the sport. He's the best player on this team, I'm told. Well, then why doesn't he play like the best player on the team when it matters most? In Carolina's last six playoff games, the sweep by the Panthers, the last two games of the Devils series, Aho did not score a goal. Aho had 2 points. He didn't have points in the last few games for Carolina. That's not going to cut it. And when you look at the season-wide stats, this was not a career year for Aho. Last season was a better year statistically than this year was for Aho. That isn't to say he had a bad year. He had a perfectly fine year. He had a year that 95% of the National Hockey League would be perfectly happy with. And that might be too low of a percentage. But we're being sold that Sebastian Aho is among that 5%, that top 2, 3% of the league. That's the type of elite player he is. Well, then you need to expect more from him. He still hasn't broken through, given those parameters. Next year, he's going to turn 26. Regardless of sport, we're told that your peak physical performance, your prime, so to speak, it's the 4 years between 26, 27, 28, and 29 years old. That's when you're at your physical peak. Aho is entering that stretch and needs to be bigger for the Hurricanes. Then you need the obvious, two of your top six forwards to be healthy. Andrei Svechnikov needs to be healthy. And on top of that, needs to be better than he was when he was healthy. Aho, to start the year, the first month and a half, was on pace for 40 goals, which Carolina, I think, has only had two players in franchise history that have netted 40 goals. I believe the last one was Eric Staal who did that. I think it's Staal and Jeff O'Neill, if memory serves, off the top of my head. Could be wrong on that. But not many players have done that. He was on pace to do it, and then he hit a huge slump. He started slumping. So he needs to be healthy. He needs to be on the ice, but he also needs to be a 35 to 40 goal scorer. It's what he needs to be at a baseline. That's what we were told he was going to be as a top one, top two pick in the draft a few years ago. And guess how old he's going to be at the end of next season? 24 years old, entering the playoffs, getting close to those prime years. Max Pacioretty, you need something from him. He's supposed to be one of your top six guys. Hopefully, he can have a healthy season next year. That's why Rod Brind'Amour is not talking about blowing it up or feeling like this year was a failure or any of that, even though they didn't reach their ultimate goal after being swept in the conference finals. Here he was last night.
That's the unfortunate part of this, is he's going to look back and everyone's going to say he got swept. And that's not what happened.
Let's get to the other clip. This was Rob Brindamore talking about the players that they've missed.
It's tough to get this far without your top players. Like, the fact that we did that without the two of the top guys that we'd missed, you know, we missed one all year, and then we missed Svesh. I mean, to come in and actually outchance a team for four games, and this time without those guys, and then lose Slavin and still continue to, you know, forge ahead, and that's why I say I'm super proud of this group.
The window's still wide open for the Canes. Next year, that entire core, between 26 and 29 years old, Aho, Svetch, Slavin. When they signed Brent Burns last summer, they signed him to a three-year contract. Last I checked, you're not completely checked out after 1 year of a three-year contract. So you've got Burns around it. A lot of these guys are still locked down. Forwards, they need more from them. It's in the room. The answer isn't in free agency. It's in the room. Those are the guys who need to be better. That's how Carolina takes the next step. It's not by adding players this offseason. It's by getting more out of the guys who need to be better for you during the season. Don't give me system. Don't give me Josh. Oh, man, they have so many guys. And Brindamore asked them to play. No, no, no. You need more from Aho at this point. You need more from, obviously, guys who were hurt, who I'm not blaming. You just need them on the ice. The solutions on the roster. On Twitter at WSJS Radio, if you want in, it's where you could tweet the show. It's where we're streaming video in addition to YouTube and on Twitch. Will Dalton is the executive producer of the show. WD, how about those Baltimore Orioles last night?
How about them?
Man, I thought it was going to be a great night for me when, at about the same time the Canes were tying the game at the end of the third period, the Orioles going into the seventh were down 5-1, and then ended the seventh up 9-5. So I was thinking, oh, both my teams are going to rally from behind, and this was going to be good. At least one of the two won. And speaking of baseball, Wake Forest, got my Wake gear on for those watching on the stream. The Deeks rolled Pittsburgh in Durham behind Rhett Lauder today. Darren Gant will join us to talk Panthers in a bit, but from the ACC baseball tournament, Darren Gant, or Darren Vaught. We got a couple of Darrens on today's show.
Too many.
He'll be joining us later in the show. Yeah, too many Darrens. But speaking of Darren Gant and the Carolina Panthers, checking in with the Panthers, the mystery and the mythology surrounding Jeremy Chinn right now is beginning to reach absurd levels. So coaches refuse to tell us where he's going to play. First, it was Ejiro Evero, the new defensive coordinator, who is protecting Chin information like it was the nuclear codes. And then yesterday, it was Panthers linebackers coach Peter Hansen, who said this when asked about what we should expect, where we should expect Chin to line up.
As far as what we're doing, I think it's pretty public knowledge that he's been a nickel quite a bit with us, but beyond that, we'll see what he can do, and I'll defer to the strategist of Coach E and let him have fun with him.
But will he actually play, I mean, one of the linebacker roles in this defense at all?
We'll see. At this point, obviously, we haven't gotten that far, but we'll see what the future holds, because like a lot of our secondary guys, we see him as a superhero. We just don't know which cape he'll wear, really, from day to day.
Oh, superhero. Come on, they signed Von Bell. You know, he's going to play safety. You signed him for the Bengals. You got Xavier Rhodes back there. Or Xavier Woods, excuse me, at safety. So he's going to play nickel. And when he's not playing nickel, he's probably going to play linebacker close to the line of scrimmage. I don't know why this is a big secret. But the superhero piece of this is where it started to get weird. Somebody followed up on, we see him as a superhero, we just don't know what type of cape he's going to wear.
Anybody in Charlotte knows he's awesome. You know, can pretty much do anything. The superhero thing fits with him. But, I mean, play the piano, the harmonica, then whatever he wants to do on the field, whatever he wants to do on a basketball court, he's like, you know, the modern version of Bo Jackson or something. He's pretty impressive.
What is he talking about? How do we go from superheroes to a piano player?
The piano is what stood out to you? I heard harmonica, and I'm thinking,
I heard a lot.
Is he sitting in the locker room channeling Bob Dylan? Hey, Mr. Tambourine Man. Oh, we're going to get ready for some football today, boys. Is that what he's doing? Bo Jackson. The way they're making it sound like is he's going to step out there and start jumping over, like playing like Troy Polamalu, jumping over the line of scrimmage. He might come out with a jetpack. Who knows? They're not telling us anything, but, oh, superhero. He plays harmonica.
Yeah, they've already had a superhero. His name's Cam Newton. Yeah,
during the offseason, he could come play your birthdays and bar mitzvahs with the piano and with the harmonica. But here's what's crazy, and it's a sign of how good the Panthers' defense is. The Panthers' defense is so loaded, he might not be one of the three most important players on that defense. I don't even think that's hot of a take. Like, Brian Burns is the most important because edge rusher is the most important defensive position, given, you know, how things are so quarterback-heavy nowadays. And he's the edge rusher. They don't really have a reliable guy on the other side. It's the biggest question with the defense. And then, given how often teams throw the ball, who's your best corner? You drafted J.C. Horn, top 10 pick. He's supposed to be your lockdown corner.
Send me that cash out, family.
And then Derrick Brown. You don't see a lot of big dudes like him, top 10 caliber picks, hitting the market that often, stopping things up in the middle. Those are the three most important guys. And then it's Jeremy Chinn. I don't say that as a shot to Jeremy. Jeremy's plenty important. But that speaks to how much talent is really on this Panthers defense.
The Drive with Josh Graham, only on WSJS.
Let's talk football with our friend Darren Gant, Panthers.com. He joins us, Hall of Fame voter as well, one of our favorites to catch up with. 4 weeks ago today, Darren, Bryce Young was drafted by the Carolina Panthers. Since then, he's met with fans, he's held a few press conferences, he attended the NFLPA's rookie symposium, he went to rookie minicamp, and now has begun OTAs this week with the Panthers. Over that time, DG, what's the best Bryce Young story you've either seen or heard?
You know what? Bryce is continuing to do all the things they expected him to do coming out of Alabama, all the adult mature things, all the fast processing things on the football field. But here's a neat little Bryce Young story from today, actually. They had an event out here at the stadium coinciding with their OTA practice this morning. They had it out in the stadium and set it up as kind of like a reward for PSL holders who hit certain benchmarks that you got to come to a practice and get some autographs afterward. Well, it got a little warm. They've been practicing. You're out there on the turf, and everybody was ready to go on in and get on with their weekend. And there was still a line of people waiting to get Bryce Young autographs. A lot of people in Alabama, 9 jerseys out. And Bryce was practically one of the last players off the field. You know, there were opportunities for him to probably escape, but Bryce hung in there and signed till his line was emptied out. And all the people who came on to see Bryce Young had saw Bryce Young. So it's a little thing, but, you know, he just continues on a daily basis to, you know, beat us over the head with the fact that he is a mature adult who happens to be an NFL rookie.
Have you been able to get in a room with him yet?
We've had some conversations. I mean, just brief conversations. He's been really busy lately doing a little football work, and I took a little vacation right after the draft. So we haven't had a chance to sit down and have the big Roy Firestone conversation where I make him cry and that kind of stuff. But, yeah, we've had a chance to visit a little bit. He comes up. He appears to be the thing he comes off as. And I know that might sound like a twisted up way to explain him, but I think this is who he is. I don't know that this is necessarily an act. He appears polished because he is polished, and he appears confident because he is confident. So I think all those things for a rookie who is here in the building, you know, I'm a big show me, don't tell me guy. And just watching the way he works, watching the way he treats people around the building, watching, again, the way he treats fans who sit out in the sun looking for an autograph at the end of a practice on a Thursday morning before a holiday weekend when everybody's trying to get out of here, suggests that he's doing it the right way.
We need to talk about that vacation. We could do that in a bit. Here's how I know you're old. You're referencing Roy Firestone. I bet you WD doesn't even know who Roy Firestone is.
I don't. Never heard of him.
Mm, see? He's, I became friends with Roy Firestone because we were in the same Orioles fan group and Go Birds.
Yeah. So he's just tell WD it was a tire store out off Business 40.
Have Panthers.com photographers been put on alert about angles to which you should shoot Bryce Young? Because it's kind of alarming how many people are fascinated with him, what it looks like standing under center, it seems.
Well, here's some breaking news. Bryce Young remains the same height he was the day he was drafted first overall. This just in.
You could confirm that?
I want to do a growth chart. Thank God the Hornets didn't win the draft lottery and Victor Wembanyama didn't roll in the town, or we could have recreated the Muggsy Bogues, you know, Manute Bol poster, growth charts. What are we doing? Yes, Bryce Young remains the same size he was the day he was drafted. And you know what? He's going to probably remain that size, barring a late-life growth spurt that not many people in their 20s enjoy. He will remain 5'10". When do we get over this? How long is this a thing?
No, all I'm picturing now is, man, what a bummer it was. If Charlotte would have won the lottery, we could have had Wembanyama side by side with Bryce Young, and then you could have got Dale Jr. to come by, and you could recreate the Kerry Collins, Dale Earnhardt Sr., Del Curry photos too.
Maybe we should have him hang around with more NASCAR people because they're all little, right?
Darren Gantz with us here. We have the preseason dates. The Panthers are going to open up with Aaron Rodgers and the Jets. Hypothetically, if the Jets agreed the joint practices with Carolina, what do you imagine Spartanburg, South Carolina is going to look like with Bryce Young and Rodgers sharing a field?
Well, Spartanburg, South Carolina is like the opposite of a darkness retreat. It's, I think in addition to the sun and humidity, every television camera light in the world would be there to see that go down. Now, you know, it'll be interesting. I think it's kind of curious to see. I mean, you know, Aaron is coming at this stardom thing from a different place, but, it's a little bit of a contrast. A guy who has lived his life in the public eye and now on the Pat McAfee show on a regular basis versus a guy who's very measured and very in control of his own messaging and not really creating the kind of off-field headlines the other guy is.
Why are coaches being so secretive with Jeremy Chinn? We saw Evero, a few weeks ago, not wanting to tell us anything. And then it was, you know, Peter Hansen yesterday, the linebackers coach, not wanting to share any secrets too before comparing him to Bo Jackson. I mean, doesn't the signing of Von Bell make it pretty obvious he's probably going to play closer to the line of scrimmage?
Yeah, one would think. I mean, and if it's obvious, why is there so much mystery about it? Now, I think that Jeremy's main role is probably going to be playing nickel. And nickel is effectively the base defense in the NFL. Mm-hmm. And if you've got someone with safety size and the ability to run like a corner who can do that job, you know, it kind of fits into where the game's going anyway. I mean, I wrote yesterday about Derek Brown, and a lot of people are worried about the difference between him being a defensive tackle and a defensive end. Well, he's going to be in a base three-man front on probably 20-25% of the snaps. So what you call him, where you worry about him lining up, is probably not the biggest deal. With Jeremy, I think he is going to be on the field pretty often. You've seen a lot of defenses over the last 5-10 years kind of evolve into a thing where a three safety rotation is kind of normal anyway, and three safeties on the field at the same time. We know Jeremy can make plays near the line of scrimmage. He did it when he was a rookie, less often last year. And I just think that it's kind of a natural. Here's what he's going to do. He's going to play nickel until they find somebody who's better at it than him or have him do something different. And he's going to be in the box in certain situations, certain personnel groups. They're going to mix and match him a little bit. And, you know, if you think about the idea of playing nickel with Dante Jackson and J.C. Horn outside, And Jeremy as kind of a bigger body inside to cover bigger slot receivers, because again, that's becoming more and more the norm in the league. I think it has an opportunity to work, but they're going to use him in a lot of different ways. If you want, if your goal is to make Jeremy Chinn one particular thing, I think you'll become frustrated over the course of this year, because to run the defense Vero wants to run, he wanted those two smart veteran safeties in the back end of it. And then Xavier Woods and Von Bell, you've got that now. So now you can use this specialty tool in a lot of different ways.
Darren Gant is with us here. And one of the things I love about Darren Gant from Panthers.com, one of the many things, cultured man about town, but also man of this world too. I saw you were in Paris a couple weeks ago, that vacation that I had bookmarked to ask you about. And Darren, another thing I love about you is you have a thick Southern drawl that's just syrupy and fantastic. What was the highlight of your trip? Did anyone ever point out asking where you're from?
You know, the French thought of me as one of their own. I guess I'm like Jerry Lewis. They recognized my comic genius early on and just kind of made me one of their own. I was wearing a beret, too. That might have helped. No, not really. No, I mean, I think people recognize in a pretty good hurry. I was at a Tottenham Hotspur game a couple weeks ago, and I think people recognized early on, you're not from North London, are you? No, but when you're all singing the Harry Kane, he's one of our own song, you know, we're all part of the same family, right? So, it was a good time, great trip. Saw all the things. You know, here's a little underground nugget for you. The mass transit in Europe is incredible. It's so efficient. Even someone who doesn't speak the language can use it. In the train station under the Louvre, they've got so much friggin' art at the Louvre that in the subway station underneath the museum, there's a Sphinx. There are these marble Roman busts of emperors just kind of hanging out in the subway because they've got so much art that they've probably appropriated from other people. My wife wouldn't let me call them colonizers, that they just stick it in the basement down there where the train goes. And I mean, that was amazing to me, but I am now a sophisticated European traveling. After 51 years, I finally got a passport and put it to some good use. And after a life spent here in the lovely Carolinas.
Yes. Darren Gant will be wearing a beret for the Panthers home preseason opener against the Jets. You can count on that. And in between that, we'll be reading his work and having him on this show as always. DG, the time's always appreciated, friend.
Yeah, man. Have a good weekend.
It's The Drive with Josh Graham, WSJS.
Let's check in on the ACC baseball tournament. Wake Forest thumping Pittsburgh today. 11-2, the final. Now I see scores at different places. I see 10-2 and I see 11-2. Wake won big. Rhett Lauder was the story, though. Great again. 7 innings pitched. 3 hits allowed. 1 earned run. 6 strikeouts. Tons of Major League scouts were there. Close to 20. Based on some reports that I saw. Wake will play the winner of State and Miami tonight. How fun would that be? Weather allowing on Saturday if you get NC State, perhaps if they were to beat the number one team in the country, the NCAA tournament, a regional bid laying right there in front of them. Weather allowing again, and also NC State needing to beat Miami. North Carolina right now is facing Virginia, and that is 1-0. Tar Heels as of right now with Virginia batting. Elsewhere tonight, we could have two closeout scenarios. You could have Vegas completing a sweep of the Dallas Stars. That's in Dallas. And Miami is going back to Boston tonight. And
Boston,
they're trying to close things out up 3-1. I think it's going to be a Dallas win to prolong that Stanley Cup Western Conference final. And I think Miami's going to close out tonight. Speaking of shipping up to Boston, we have
Boston
Dropkick Murphy tickets that we're giving away today. 2 pair, Later this year, they're going to be in Greensboro, White Oak Amphitheater. And your cue to win, the next time you hear this,
Boston.
Yes. The next time you hear this,
Boston.
That'll be your cue to win. Not right now. 336-777-1600 if you want to go see the Dropkick Murphys later this year. Those tickets go on sale tomorrow. Now, to the main event. It's time for WD to tell us about a movie. It's shameful that he hasn't already seen. And this week, that movie is Miracle 2004.
Unless you're talking about Star Wars,
Obi-Wan has taught you well.
Movies aren't exactly Will's thing.
I don't get it.
You uncultured swine!
But that's about to change because Josh can't stand it anymore. This is At the Movies with Will Dalton.
Okay, starring Kurt Russell, documenting the 1980 U.S. Olympic upset of the Soviet Union, them winning the championship. Do you remember who they beat in the championship? In the gold medal game?
It wasn't Finland, was it?
It was Finland.
Oh, there you go.
Well done. The United States hockey team. The greatest sports moment of the 20th century, according to Sports Illustrated. What did you like the most about the movie?
Well, I liked the intro where they kind of tied the historic events of that time into the movie.
Oh, like you like Elvis. You like the intro?
Well, like just the way they tied it into the historical moments of that time, Elvis dying, Watergate, and all those things.
See, I go in a different direction on that. Like some of it was relevant. Like the Jimmy Carter stuff, yes, that was relevant. But I don't know why how the fall of Saigon and Elvis had anything to do with hockey 3 years later.
Fair.
4 years later.
Fair enough. But I like that.
I get why you like it, and it happens in a lot of movies. The Air movie, Ben Affleck and Matt Damon, the Nike movie, is now available on Amazon Prime. They have an opening sequence just like that to bring you to 1984 and a great Dire Straits song that's playing.
Another moment I really appreciated was in the game versus Sweden at halftime when...
Intermission. Come on, man.
Intermission, that's right. We're talking about hockey here. When Herm got... McClanahan really pissed off in the locker room.
Because they were already a skater down with OC being hurt.
And so he gets him all pissed off. He kind of gets in his face, and then coach walks off and says, that'll do it.
Yeah.
That was kind of that's coaching. A cool moment.
What's great about this, too, is there's a reason why none of these actors went on to really do anything, because they're not actors. The hockey in this movie is incredible.
Yes.
Like the sports scenes themselves. Find me a movie that looks as authentic, the sports themselves, than Miracle does. And the reason it looks that way is because Gavin O'Connor, the director, rather than finding actors and teaching them how to skate and play hockey, he found hockey players and taught them to act.
And it probably would have been horrendous had he gone the other way.
Now, I'm sure there are some actors who probably could skate who are from Canada, like Taylor Kitsch or something like that, but it just felt very authentic. And I heard somebody make this point. I forget who it was. I want to give credit to where it's due, but it's a good one, that the way this movie was made was very similar to the way that Herb Brooks coached the team, where Herb Brooks knew that you couldn't rely on stars and you had to be a sum of all parts in order to beat the Russians. You don't want an all-star team. You want a team that's playing to a system. And that's how he made this movie, where it's like you have all of these guys and you don't have a star actor who's playing any of the players. You don't have that guy. It's a sum of all parts type of movie. And Herb Brooks is right there at the center of it. What didn't you like about Miracle?
This isn't going to be popular, probably. But the scene where he's running them to death, it just crossed a line for me. It's like, okay, enough. Like they're
listen, 1980, man.
I know, and I took that into account, but
like remember the Titans. And I'm sure it doesn't age well when
Denzel Washington's telling his players that water makes you weak.
Right. And again, like, I'm coming at this from an athlete's perspective.
Yeah.
And yes, there is a way to go about it where you do build toughness, but there's also a line where it gets ridiculous and it's like, okay, this is not making anybody better.
It's also the best scene of the movie.
Yes, it is.
That and the speech.
The principle of it.
Right. Here's what I didn't like. This was big news as the movie was coming out. I remember it 20 years ago or so. Herb Brooks died right after principal photography of this movie was completed in a car accident. He died in a car accident and never saw a cut of the movie. Never saw it. And that's why they had the thing at the end where it said he never saw it. He lived it.
Yeah.
Like,
which
died
was a nice
touch. Died right after they finished like principal photography on the movie. Kind of crazy. Best quote. It's the entire speech.
Yes. That's, see, for me, that's
the entire speech.
See, for me, that's the cop. I mean, yes, you're right. But I'm not going to cop out to that. So for me, it's got to be, looks more like a couple of monkeys trying to hump a football to me.
Yeah. Yeah. Great moments.
Yeah.
Come from great opportunities.
Got a hot date in about an hour. How's that looking?
And that's how. That's what you have here, boys. If we played them 10 times, they might win 9. The entire thing. I used to know it by heart. I used to think that they took that thing verbatim from Herb Brooks. And then I figured out that, no, that's not what happened.
Oh, they didn't?
No.
Was there a speech at all?
No, probably not. No. That's Hollywood stuff. But I'm cool with the Hollywood stuff.
I feel used.
No, I'm cool with that in this case. Like, how would you know what Herb Brooks said for sure in that locker room in 1980 verbatim? Like, how would you know?
You wouldn't.
For sure. You wouldn't. So it's fine that they had the speech. He did say, and this actually didn't make it into the movie, like, in between the second and third, what Herb Brooks has been quoted as saying by many of the players was saying, if you lose this game, you'll take it to your bleeping grave. How'd that not make it into the script? Oh, wait. It's a Disney movie. And that's... Oh, wait. Rotten Tomatoes score.
I'm not sure.
Can you get within 5 of the audience score on Rotten Tomatoes?
Let me try an 86.
90.
That was going to be my first guess.
And that's been At the Movies with the WD.
You're on the drive with Josh Graham. WSJM.
Let's go out the Derm side of the ACC baseball tournament, where Darren Vaught joins us now. You know him from the ACC Baseball Etc. podcast. Saw him with Danny Graves, you know, on the pod. Every week we see those two together. Danny Graves on my TV all throughout this week. Darren, tell me right now where North Carolina and Virginia stand before we get to some of the other teams.
Let's see, Josh. They are at 7-2, and we are in, I'm trying to see, I'm in a tucked back area.
It was in the 6th or 7th, yeah.
Yeah, two outs, top 8, and North Carolina's up 7-2 against them. It's been a big day for the Heels. This is a big one for them. Put together some big run innings, couple of threes up on the scoreboard for Carolina, good start out of Jake Knapp. So, good crowd. This is a fun day. Fun day at DBAP.
Let's broaden it and talk about NCAA tournament significance for a lot of these teams. And since we're talking about the Tar Heels right now, do they still have hope of potentially hosting a regional depending on how they do the rest of the weekend?
Yeah, I mean, there's an outside chance. I saw the D1 baseball projections as of this morning had North Carolina as the 2 seed in Columbia. And that's if South Carolina still is able to host. And that had it as South Carolina as the number 15 overall seed.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, if you kind of work backwards in serpentine-like fashion, although some of it relies on proximity, I mean, that has North Carolina as like the 3rd 2 seed. So theoretically, only like 3 spots to jump in order to maybe be one of those fringe host teams. This is a big win that's going to improve their RPI a lot if they can hold it against Virginia here. we'll see. I mean, obviously, there's some impending weather Saturday and Sunday that might shorten this week for all ACC teams. But certainly, I mean, if games are played and the entire tournament is played and North Carolina comes out on top, I think they'd have to be considered in the hosting conversation. So there's an outside chance.
I'll tell you who's probably most hoping that there are games this weekend is NC State, who's in action tonight against Miami, because if they win, they would be pitted against Wake Forest, given Wake's win against Pitt earlier today. What does NC State need to do to feel good on Monday afternoon about their hopes?
I think they feel good, and they should right now, as things currently stand. A win tonight would do them a lot of favors. So, I think they feel good, but one more win could not hurt. Now, obviously, with the impending weather and chances of semifinalists being determined and no semifinals or finals being played, there is speculation around the press box that, okay, it's not a big deal if the four teams as semifinalists are in. Right? And sure, there's a great chance that that's the case. Imagine if it's NC State, though, and they find themselves in that same scenario as they were last year, the first team out, and they did not get the opportunity to play one, maybe two more games, maybe get an auto bid. It could be very NC State stuff-ish if that were to happen, for sure. So, I don't know. We'll see. TBD.
Couple quick things before we get to unusual questions. Darren Vaught, he's out at the DBAP where North Carolina is taking care of Virginia as of right now. Just how many scouts were in the house for Rhett Lauder and Wake Forest earlier today?
I don't have an exact number for you. A lot. Let's just say there was a lot of heat here at DBAP, and there has been all week, because again, like, Rhett Lauder, one scout told me, he thinks he could be a major league starting pitcher right now. Like, he could go to a big league team and be their number five in their rotation tomorrow. So he obviously warrants a lot of attention. Of course, we know Brock Wilkin is draft eligible and is going to be a high draft pick. Vance Honeycutt, Nick Kurtz next year are going to be top picks, if not number one and two. Man, it's just cool to see, and it's a lot of, you know, my role with USA Baseball introduces me to a lot of these scouts over the years. I'm seeing a lot of faces I normally don't see until about July, because the collegiate national team is in town, the 18U national team is in town, but the ACC championship, because of the star power, has been an event for scouting departments. Some teams have, you know, a handful of guys here just for one team.
Yeah. So one last thing. Tomorrow night, before we get to unusual questions, tomorrow, you know who's playing in the game tomorrow at 11 a.m., right?
Well, yeah, it's our last effective semifinal. I talked to their head coach, Mike Gambino. It's Boston College.
Boston College.
And I bring that up only because the face I made as I said Boston College in that TV interview, I wish
Boston
I never
College?
Did now, is it's now been created. It turned into a fathead by Kyle the Amazon driver, who now wears it around his neck as if he's Flava Flav with the clock. He has surprised BDOT over the last week with it somewhere.
I saw that.
He surprised me and my wife, at a Winston-Salem Dash game. And he says, he's tweeted us, that part of his mission tomorrow is to try and surprise Darren Vaught with this thing out at the DBAP tomorrow.
My man, Kyle, the Amazon driver, I will find you. I will. If you're here tomorrow, I mean, it can't be hard to miss. Come on.
It'll be up on social media somewhere, I'm sure. And
we'll make it happen at Darren Vaught. Kyle knows how to get let me know where he is.
During the Boston College game.
Boston College.
It's all coming together. Now, let's...
Hold on. Can I precursor unusual questions,
please,
with something that you keep referring to that thing as a fat head.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that that's technically accurate, because fat heads was like a specific brand, right? And
he got it from the fat head website.
He did.
Yeah.
So you can make your own now, and instead of just something that sticks on Kyle the Amazon driver's bedroom wall, it's something he can carry around with him or wear around his
That's what he's done.
All right, okay. I stand corrected. Let's move on.
Yes, and we move on to...
Last week, guys, everybody made it out that I got mad at Josh and I left the press conference. That's not right. I thought it was an unusual question, and it's okay.
It's time for Unusual Questions with Josh Graham.
And since Darren's on location, I'll let him start. Oh, by the way, 336-777-1600. If you have a question for us to answer, you can win Dropkick Murphys tickets for later this year in Greensboro. I think that show's in October. Tickets go on sale tomorrow. First to call in with the question gets those tickets to see the Dropkick Murphys. Darren, you love yourself some Boston-themed things, so because you like the Red Sox and all. Now, ask me an unusual question. Ask all of us.
Yeah, this is also musically themed. I'm pretty sure this is a recycled unusual question, which goes to show how long we've been doing this segment. But also, I think it's great fodder at any time. Jackson Vandenbroeck for North Carolina, his walk-up song is The Stroke. And it gets everybody, all the fans, clap up above their heads. The team has gotten into a routine where they're at the railing outside the dugout, and they do it. It's a very cool thing. There's a guy named Anthony Stephon for Virginia who walks up to Anthony's song, Moving Out.
Yeah.
And it has sparked some conversation about best walk-up song. I don't expect you guys to know ACC players' walk-ups. I barely do for most of them. But maybe like a player of old, perhaps a Nickelback. Do you remember a walk-up song that was your favorite?
Oh, the Nickelbacks, huh? You, by the way, would be the one guy I've ever met to refer to the song as Anthony's song rather than calling it just Moving Out. You would be that guy.
Moving Out is in parentheses.
I know it's in parentheses, but no one else calls it Anthony's song. Everyone calls it Moving Out. And I think the other one's a Billy Squier song. So,
correct. Billy Squier's The Stroke.
Yeah. WD, what was your walk-up?
See, in high school, I would always go Forever by Drake. But in college, I went I Get Around by Tupac.
That's pretty good.
Ooh. Yeah, I brought it.
That's good.
Yeah.
The best for a player is hard to say. I know I don't remember walk-ups for players, but I do remember walk-ups for closers. And I always thought California Love for the Dodgers closer, circa just a few years ago, whose name, Kenley Jansen. Yeah. I thought that was pretty good. And I thought the Pretender, when Jim Johnson used to close games for the Orioles, was great, and it's hard to beat Enter Sandman with Mariano Rivera.
Yeah. I frequented some games with family. My dad was born in Atlanta. The Braves were sort of my NL team. Most of my games going to big league parks as a child were at Turner Field. I loved when Marcus Giles, as their leadoff batter,
hit the Nickelback drop. Marcus Giles.
When Marcus Giles would walk up to the, you remember the Jay-Z Linkin Park collaboration?
Oh, Numb and Encore.
Numb and Encore, and the entire crowd at Turner Field would be like, what the hell are you waiting for?
Great karaoke and song.
It was incredible vibes whenever Marcus Giles would come to the plate to that song. It's by miles my favorite walk-up for anybody ever.
Excellent. Okay, I got a sports question for you. So we made WD watch Miracle this week, and I rewatched it too, and all I could think was, we need more movies like Miracle, and I mean it in this sense. If you go back, like, the TV cameras weren't so great pre-1995 or pre-1990, and I think Miracle, because of how accurate it is too, is a great document for sporting events that you wouldn't want to go back and watch the actual thing of because the footage isn't so great. I think if we're looking pre-95, what sports moment would you like to see in a full-length motion picture? I'll give you a chance to think because I put together a short list. I would love to see Don Larson's Perfect Game in a movie, and you can kind of do it like for the love of the game and document his life as the Perfect Game's happening. I'd like to see Hank Aaron's home run chase potentially done. I think there's something there. The 1983 NC State basketball team
would be perfect. I mean, they won the championship at the buzzer. I mean, it's just perfect. It's just perfect.
Who plays Jim Valvano?
Now that is an excellent, excellent. Ray Romano.
Ray Romano. There you go.
I mean, would you not have to get the performance of Ray Romano's life out of that? I'm not saying he's not up to it, but I would have concerns about the heavier parts of that role. Although
Dave,
I get
how about
it.
David Schwimmer?
Ooh, I mean, same questions, but you know, maybe it could work.
I could see David Schwimmer playing Jimmy V.
I think those are both great. You know what I would love to see in a feature film narrative sort of way?
What's that?
How about Jim Abbott's life and career?
Ooh,
a biopic and maybe, you know, the sports action centers around not as much, you know, maybe you show the no-hitter as a big leaguer, but I would love to see him pitching for Team USA in Cuba against that historic Victor Mesa team, because you could capture the environment of an international baseball game in Cuba so well with modern cinematography. And obviously Jim Abbott's story, pitching one-handed, I mean, that would
great
be...
Great idea.
That, you know what? I might get started on the spec script for that. Come on.
Question answered. That's excellent. What do you got, WD?
Well, Darren's out at the ballpark, and I think you and I were talking hot dogs.
If you're about to ask what the best ballpark food is, I'm going to fight you.
No, I've already done that one. Come on.
I know.
But this actually might be a recycled question. I'm not sure. Is a hot dog a sandwich?
Of course it's a recycled question, Will.
I wasn't sure.
You're going to ask the...
Request denied. Request, come up with something else.
Yeah.
Request denied.
That's terrible.
Is spaghetti and lasagna the same thing?
No,
that's an interesting question because
they kind of are, just different noodles.
Yeah, my wife made something that I